Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, guys. It is February. I like to call February usually the month of love, although we tend to do that all the time around here. But February is actually designated for that. And I, of course, I always reflect that in my newsletter. And, of course, we'll talk about that a lot tonight because that's what we do. That's what we do around here, talk a lot about the love program because that's something that is the continuing. Just real quick here. Before we get going, I wanted to thank some folks recently that I hadn't connected with in a really, really long time. I happen to be down here in Florida as I speak, and I got to reconnect with them, and it was just really, really quite wonderful. You know, when you've done what I've done for as long as you've done it, there's always those moments of connections with people that just, oh wow. So this is the story. This woman and her hubby, they were cleaning out their garage, which I guess it must be the time of the year for them to do. Maybe they're after the holidays, whatever it is. They were cleaning out in their job and their garage, and they found a cassette tape. The cassette tape was 1985 of a session that they had done with me, and I thought, like, wow. And since they were originally living in New York, I guess at the time that we had connected, and they are now sunny Florida. So there you go. You never know what happens when you're going to clean out your garage, or connect to somebody from a really, really long time ago. And what happened? And I've always, you know, I believe, I'm a very firm believer, because I wrote the book, Everything Happens for a Reason. Everything does happen for a reason, because quite literally, right after they found the cassette tape, a very, very dear friend of theirs. A couple that were really, really dear friends to them down here in Florida had just lost their son. So they were completely, of course, convinced. I don't have to, like, you know, convince you guys of that, because we all know that these things happen for a reason. And with that, quite literally in line, it was like they knew that there was a reason that they found that cassette tape. They, interesting enough, they had they had also kind of got reconnected me when I do, which I won't be doing tonight, guys, but I will be doing it again next month. The travel thing is just not kind of allowing me to do my Facebook Live, which I will do again next month, because they've been coming out to be really, really, really nice. And just for an FYI, my newsletter will be going out probably tomorrow, my monthly newsletter, which always has a lot of information and good stuff on it about what's going on and what's sort of like coming up here. But in any case, so they had said that they had also got reconnected to me on my Facebook Live a couple of months ago, and they were thinking, like, they had learned that I was going to be coming down here, and then through the process of that, like I said, they went to their garage, found the tape, and from 1985, and it was pretty cool. So I do have a guest. I'm kind of waiting for her to put in here, but I'm going to mention some of the things that I have been asked recently about where some of the places that I haven't been in a long time that I'm going to go to. And but I might even take a couple of calls, because the lines are definitely packed here, sort of before she calls in. But I will mention this, that yes, I am coming to Charlotte, North Carolina in April, and I'm also going to be in Asheville in April, and I'm going to be in Vegas and Denver, and Connecticut, Albany, and Mass within the next couple of months, of all those sort of places. But I'm almost not quite finishing up my trip here in Fort Lauderdale, which I have to say I've hit quite wonderful weather, and I'm quite happy about that. I don't mind telling you Northeasterners that it is sort of nice to get out, although I heard it was 50 in New York today, which is really nice for the folks that are sort of like up there. Now, I will mention this. Like I said, my newsletter is coming out this month. And when you start scrolling in the next few months, you're going to see that I have a lot of really nice things going on, even with my webpage and stuff, of places I'm going to be going and things that are going to be coming up. And I got some surprises, which is also going to be coming out of my newsletter. For those of you who haven't signed up for it, my suggestion would be to sign up, which is, of course, SuzanneNorthrup.com. Check that out, and we'll go from there. So until my special guest shows in here, I think what I'll do is I don't generally go ahead and do this, but since the lines are packed, I will start taking some calls here. So let's just see who is here. Hi, you're on the air with Suzanne. Unusual.
Hello.
Just early of the day. Hello.
Yes, hello. Hello. My name is Laura, and I'm just so excited to talk to you. I'm just wondering, I could ask a question, or you can just do whatever. I'm not sure how you do it.
Well, basically, what I do is I connect with people that have crossed over, Laura. That's
okay,
sort of
that'd
my
be
specialty.
Wonderful.
Okay, and, you know, sometimes there's questions that sort of like come into that. But for the sake of, you know, what I call, you know, radio, even though it's Block Talk Radio, and obviously a few other people may show up with it, but generally if there's somebody in specific you may want to connect with, we'll go from there and see who else shows up.
I would love to connect with my dad or my Nana.
Okay. Is Nana a grandma?
Yes, she's my husband's grandma.
Got it. Okay.
But she is my Nana.
She's sort of showing. She's definitely your Nana. But it's interesting because I see her to the side, and often when I see people to the side, it usually means to me that they're connected through somebody else connected to you. So she might be connected to your husband, but she also is very connected to you, Laura. So I feel like I've got to mention that to you. Now, somebody, I don't know if this is her or your dad, somebody has a birth of passing in the month of June, you're telling me.
Yes, that's my sister.
Yeah, it's your sister. And she's still here?
No, she's passed.
Okay, then she's coming, obviously, with your Nana and your dad. Now, has she been passed a while, by the way, Nana?
Yes.
I mean, Laura?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm getting, yes. I don't know if she was young or you were young when she passed.
Both.
But that's the sense. Both, okay, because that's the sense that I'm getting quite literally. And I almost want to say, as strange as this might sound to you, she has certainly kept an eye on you while you grew up. And she very much wants you to know that.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Now, I don't like to assume any things here, but she comes with a dead dog. So I don't know if she's talking about your dead dog or the family dead dog, but she definitely comes with a little one fair.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Yes, we've had two.
Yeah. Yeah. So she kind of wants you to know that quite literally they're coming to you together. So I'm gathering that the passing of this dog must have been a big deal. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, they're coming together. And she does say that daddy is with me. Now, I'm going to, again, want to sort of say quite literally that she's telling me that her passing, which I totally get, was a very big deal to
yes.
both your parents. Almost like I feel
yes.
like we never quite got over this. And
never.
I want to never, never. I mean, it's not uncommon, but we never quite literally never get over a loss of a child in the family. But what I do want to say is this, is that she says that even though you might have been young, she wants you to know that she was trying to be with you through that process, Laura. And I think that both your parents tried to work as best as they could, knowing you were obviously their daughter that was still here in this process. But it was a tough one. It was a tough
yes.
one. So yes. she really felt like she wanted to share this with you tonight. It looks like she honestly passed from either a strange way or a strange illness or something very, very weird. I mean, that's what I'm
yes.
gathering.
Yes.
Yeah. But she is telling me, and I'm not going to assume this, but from what she's saying to me, I would have to say that if she would have survived, the situation would not have been right.
I'm so glad
and,
you said that because I've been wondering.
Well, there you go. So I'm just telling you that she said she would not have been right if she had survived the situation, which is something, honestly, none of your family would have known. So it just comes in really, really loud. So you need to pass that on to whomever may be still here, and let them know that she, even though I know you, I always tell people, even though we may ask for other people,
I'm good with that.
Okay, good.
I've been wondering. She was 14 when she passed.
Yeah,
I keep wondering, why did you leave me? Why did? Could you have come back? What the hell is wrong with you? Like, why did you leave me?
Yeah.
But you answered just what I was thinking.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful because, like I said, you know, and that's your experience in that, and what you feel from that, obviously, is really normal, Laura. But this wasn't about leaving you. This was obviously the path that, whatever her program was, whatever her path is. I want you to know that that's what this was about. And of course, you know, everybody that was interconnected with her during this time, of course, you know, had to, you know, go through all of that. So I just thought I'd sort of share that with you. But she is saying that Daddy and I are having a good time.
Thank you so much.
So
thank you.
You're so welcome, my dear. And as I said, as we opened up the show, that this is the month of love, and I'm really, really happy that you got to have your heart retouched again with this very sweet sister, because she says
you
remember her very, very strong. So.
Yes.
So
thank
you are more than welcome, Laura. Oh, wait, thank you. You're very welcome. You're more than welcome. Okay, dear. You have a great night.
God bless. God bless you.
God bless. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you
okay.
so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. You're welcome so much. So, like I said, we don't usually do this at the beginning of the show here, but since my guest is a little late, I guess we just wanted to go ahead and do this, and I think obviously Laura was quite pleased about that. So anyway, so that's pretty sweet. That's pretty, pretty sweet. So with that, let's just double check here the board to see if. She's coming in yet? Not yet, but I am going to with that. So let's just see here. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take another call. And let's see where we are. Okay. Now let's try this line here. Hi, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hello, my name is Donna from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Donna. Okay.
I was wondering if you could, I have, three people that passed that I, my grandmother, my grandfather, and my aunt.
Okay.
Could you tell me if they're
Let's
together?
Well, I can tell you that they're together, and they were very, very equally connected when they're here. That I'm going to tell you, Donna. That's quite literal. So let's just see here what we got going. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put you, okay. Let's just see what we got going here on the board. Okay. So you said an aunt. Now, is the aunt on the same side as the grandmother?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay, so that would have been her daughter. Am I correct on that one?
Yes, my mom's sister,
yes.
But my mom's still living.
I was going to say, because she said that's on her side of the family. Now, so what I want to sort of say is this. It feels to me like either her or the aunt, one of them must have had a lot of problems in their chest, Donna, because I feel like I'm pushed. So I don't know if this was heart stuff or somebody couldn't breathe or something, but I feel like a lot of pressure in my chest, very strong. And it feels like it was something that might have been going on for some time prior to their passing. Now, Now I want to ask you this, okay, who lived, did one of them live somewhere else from the other one? I mean, like, was somebody at physical distance?
My grandmother and my aunt, or
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody, okay, so were you at a distance from them, or were they at a distance from each other? Because they're talking about being somewhere else.
My grandmother and aunt, they lived together, and I was living with my husband, so.
Got it. Okay.
We all live in Philadelphia.
Got it. Okay. Because they're telling me that connection was so strong. Now, I don't know if they lived upstairs or downstairs or side by side, but they're telling me that there was a tremendous interconnection with them and your mom and even you through that time. And it felt like it was really, really important because it does feel like one of them was ill. And it was like, I feel like one had to be taken care of.
My grandmother.
Yeah. So your aunt was ended up taking care of her?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Because
they lived in the same house.
Got it. Because that's why they're saying in general that was really important, because that this allowed that to happen. You know what I'm saying? That she was there with her during that time. Because it does look like she was ill for a while.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. So anyway, I'm just saying that whole connection, interconnection of her being there and them being together, and actually somewhat your mom even somewhat being around, seemed to be really important. So they're kind of bringing that all up. And I'm going to ask one other quick thing here. Are you aware that one of them was what I call in an altered state prior to their passing?
No, what do you mean?
Okay, usually when I get somebody to an altered state, it either means somebody, you know, had either gone into some kind of a coma or something, that they were a little more in that world than they were in this world. I mean, they're showing me that they were more in that world than this world. So there must have been something that was going on with them physically during that time.
Maybe before they passed away?
Yes, right.
My aunt, she fell back. That was sudden. She was 60.
Got it. So they're saying with all that going on, this was a very, very intense, difficult time, I think, for your mom and for both of you during this time. And it's almost like I feel like they want you to know that, you know, even though this was going on, they certainly made sure either you were there during this process or you were aware of this process or somehow you were indirectly, directly connected, because that seemed to have been very important, because from what I'm gathering, both of them were very close to you, Donna.
Yes.
So, yeah. So they very much want you to know that. So, okay, my dear.
Oh.
So take that in to the month of love, and you have a great evening, okay? And stay warm.
Okay. Is my grandfather around?
He's there, but he's more in a distance. They're the ones that are showing very strong. So.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm
gathering it because of their connection and obviously their connection with you as well. So.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome. Okay. So I think we finally got our guest on here.
Hello. Hi,
hello,
Suzanne.
Wendy. Yes, it is.
Can you hear me?
I can.
I'm awfully sorry. I'm sorry about that. No, I called you in on the wrong line, so of course you couldn't find me.
No, I couldn't. No, you have. There's a thing that we may be very tuned in and psychic and all those other things, but if you do not call on the right number, then we're not going to be able to do a whole lot to help you out in that situation. So
I understand. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, so guys, without further ado here, she was She was a little late upon arrival, but, you know, she has finally sort of arrived. I'm going to try to get through the rest of my callers here toward the end of the show like I always do. So if you're on the line, there's no promises, but I certainly will try to get through. There's at least three or four of you that we're going to sort of, like, do that. Okay. So anyway, so I want to say my guest for the evening is Wendy Coulter. I hope I pronounced your name right. And Wendy is a certified medical intuitive practitioner and certified master energy healing practitioner, teacher, ordained minister, and transformational coach. I found her work actually very, very interesting because, number one, there is not generally, as a rule, believe it or not, a lot of medical intuitives around. And so Wendy is sort of in, I think you're in the San Diego area. Am I correct on that? Because I think I read some of your stuff online about that.
Yeah, but I've also been in San Diego a good deal.
You do. Okay,
I teach
got
in
it.
San Diego because, a good deal, but I'm not located there, but I do go there a lot.
Okay. Got it. Because I have a very, very close friend who is a cardiologist who has a natural alternative center there. So she does some wonderful stuff too. Yeah, and I think sometimes she has maybe not medical intuitive, but I think she certainly does a lot of similar programs to what you do. So with that, there's a couple things in here that you said I thought was really, really kind of interesting, and I think a lot of my guests, because I have a great listening audience, would be really, really interested in, especially those that are very already intuitive, but work more like, you know, either therapist or energy people or body or any kind of body work. And I did read something with you which I thought was really, really interesting, is that, you know, you were raised around the Bodhi tree and worked with Louise Hayes, of which, by the way, I've lectured tons and tons of times at the Bodhi tree, and also, you know, knew Louise Hayes before she was actually Louise Hayes. So I kind of know that. But in any case, what I thought was really wonderful about the work is that you say that, you know, and I do believe that this is most definitely true, that a lot of people are on some levels naturally intuitive or that can learn medical intuitive training from what you're sort of saying here. So tell us a little bit about that, because I'm really interested in that as well.
Yes, absolutely, Suzanne. Well, thank you for that. And anyone can learn how to do this. I train healthcare professionals, so wellness professionals of all kinds, including energy healers. And let me just make an aside and say I know exactly who you're talking about in San Diego, because I taught my programs at the Pacific Pearl for several years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
With Dr. Mimi Granieri. She invited me down.
Yes. That's great. That's wonderful. So we are on the same page. Yeah. Mimi
absolutely.
And I have been friends for like about 20 years or 25 years or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is a visionary in the area of intuition and energy practices with traditional medicine. And I've been very, very blessed to have taught there and know her and be supported by her and support her work as well. Medical intuition is not a healing modality. It is an assessment skill designed to support all healing modalities. So it's not a treatment or anything like that. It's a visual, intuitive look at the physical body and biofield to look for blockages and imbalances in both of those systems, and to ask the client's body what it needs and what it wants to facilitate healing. So it's a very specific process. And as you said, I've lectured and taught all over the country at some of the top healthcare facilities, including Andrew Weil Center, the Academy for Integrative Health and Medicine, the Energy Psychologist Association, the Holistic Nurses, and on and on and on. People are very interested in this skill, because they see the value of it in supporting healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow. Okay, so just because you came out a little late, I usually take a break right around this time, which we will, and I'll let people, you know, listen to this and think about some of the other things. Now, I know that you have a certification program, when you could talk a little bit about that, and I think you have something coming up in March, but I really want to talk about how you can, in a lot of ways, because I'm sure there's a lot of practitioners out there that would most definitely want to learn more about this as well as you say, just, you know, in your own particular process. So this is Suzanne North at Block Talk Radio with my special guest, Wendy Coulter, and she's a medical intuitive. And we're going to get back, and we're going to ask you a lot more questions in a moment. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Okay, so actually, I am looking at your bio, and I do see that you've been at Scripps. you've been at Scripps, but we went over to Mimi's Place, so that's sort of great. And I always tell people that, you know, that live in the Southern California area, if they're really, really interested and not only mention just, you know, really being checked out by somebody who goes way outside the box. Maybe it's a place to go. So I'm not surprised that she would have had you lecture there as well. So just before we go any farther here, because I know you've got some background. So what kind of drew you specifically to this particular area?
Well, I mean
I know you did a lot of things you growing up and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason you.
I was always. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. Good. So I was always an intuitive child, and I think many of your listeners may relate to this in that, you know, we have these intuitive kind of abilities and impulses when we're very young. Most of us get trained out of it or shamed out of it or something along those lines. Luckily for me, I didn't, and my parents didn't understand it, but they were also very encouraging of anything they considered creative. So I sort of, over the years, just trained myself very naturally to develop this intuitive perception ability. And I studied many, many different modalities. I trained as an energy healer, among other things, and ended up being an instructor of energy practices as well. And I started noticing that I could really just tell when someone was off. When I was very little, I could tell if someone was coming down with something. But as I grew up, as I became an energy healer, I noticed that I could see right into the body. And I was using a type of intuitive perception that's visualization-based, so an intuitive visual perception. It came very natural to me, but I did have to work on it. And as I worked on it, I also noticed that I could see into the life experience of someone's life. You know, I could just see what had potentially led to a physical imbalance. And that practice became the practice of medical intuition for me. And I had a lot of my colleagues sending me their difficult cases and doctors calling me very quietly to find out if I could help them with their, you know, atypical cases, etc. And it just became kind of a 20-year practice for me in this skill. And I noticed that there's a major gap in healthcare, not just in energy practices, but in medical intuition specifically, that this particular practice can support the whole process of healthcare. That can help with the patients, with the clients, helping them get an awareness of what led them to a circumstance and how they can shift it for themselves, for the the licensed practitioners. It helps them just get a real handle on what kind of testing, what kind of processes they need to go through. It increases compliancy. It just helps all around. And I started noticing that my clients were healing, where if they had just gone to an energy healer or just to their medical doctor, sometimes they weren't. So medical intuition seemed to be a missing piece in that entire process. And because of that, Suzanne, I realized that I need to be teaching doctors, nurses, you know, licensed healthcare people, any wellness providers, complementary alternative, that wanted to bring this into their process as an assessment that can add to their and support their entire practice.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is that I'm not telling you what you don't know is that, you know, any kind of healing has to do with the mind, the body, and the spirit. I mean, they have to all be integrated together to operate.
Yes, absolutely.
that's you know, kind of the bottom line for us to be in line. That's certainly something that, you know, needs to be doing. So I'm assuming that this is something, obviously, that you, when you do your work, you do the balancing or you get like a deeper connection between that body, mind, and that spirit. Am I sort of correct on that?
Well, what it is very specifically is a conversation between the medical intuitive and the client or patient's body and biofield.
Mm-hmm.
The biofield is the aura and chakra system. So what I do is I have a very deliberate conversation, not with the client themselves, but with their body and their biofield. And the thing that people don't really understand is that the body has its own conscious awareness and has a lot to say. And when we make that mind-body connection for ourselves personally, we sometimes get that information. And a medical intuitive is trained, at least the way I train and the way I practice, the way I train my students, is to have that deliberate conversation so that they can get information that is not aware. It's not in a client's or patient's conscious awareness. If it was all in our conscious awareness, we would know what to do, how to do, and where, you know, all that. But it generally speaking isn't. So that's what a medical intuitive does. It makes that connection. And I can tell you that we've had a lot of we've done some research on this and testing on the accuracy of medical intuition, and it has not been done before. There are no historical conclusive studies done. In fact, very, very few at all. So what I did last year with my students, my graduate students, is I created a pilot study with the help of some of our friends down at Scripps and at UCSD, and we created a survey for the participants, and we just got some phenomenal results, if you don't mind me sharing that.
Oh, no, absolutely. Please do.
So what we saw was, thank you. So what we saw was we asked the medical intuitives to read, do sessions with these people. They had no intake. They had no information on what these subjects or participants had, no medical information at all. And so they were blinded. And what we saw was a 94% accuracy rate in the location and evaluation of the subject's primary healthcare issue. So the medical intuitives were able to discern, using the techniques I taught them, how to see into the body to locate and evaluate those primary health concerns. We also found 98% accuracy in the medical intuitives describing life circumstances, life experiences of that person that might have led to this healthcare outcome, you know, some sort of illness or imbalance. Again, no prior knowledge of someone's life experience. We just saw what we saw, and that's what we got, 98% accuracy. We also got 94% accuracy and consistency with a known medical diagnosis. So that means if the participant actually had a diagnosis from their doctor, and of course the medical intuitive didn't know this, there was 94% consistency in that same diagnosis. And that's, we don't diagnose, but in that same ability to see what's going on. So they graded the practitioner that, oh, they were consistent or totally consistent with that diagnosis. And that was a really interesting piece of information. So there was a lot more besides, but what I did, Suzanne, is I sent all of that data that we gathered to our friends at UCSD School of Medicine. Dr. Paul Mills is
one of the directors of a wonderful research center there. And he got very excited about it, as he should. We were all very excited about it. And he said, why don't we do the first gold standard study on medical intuition that has ever been done? And we are now in partnership with the UCSD School of Medicine on this effort. And we're currently fundraising for that, by the way. But
okay,
hopefully
okay.
We can get this pulled off, and we'll have in the medical literature a gold standard study on the accuracy and effectiveness of medical intuition.
That's great. That's wonderful. Well, you know, you have to, as we say, you know, take those big leaps because, you know, I went through this obviously personally in the early 1990s when with Dr. Gary Schwartz, who a scientist, and was just trying to prove survival
yeah.
consciousness after death. Son of the same thing, yes. And we had to take like a huge leap, and we did the same thing with the testing. And it was also, you know, in the very high percentage of accuracy, you know, with the,
yeah.
the mediums that were tested. There was only five of us. So he's gone on to do unbelievable work just because of it. Like, I think it turned his life upside down. That's not exactly what he thought he was
yeah.
doing. So, you know,
well,
so when everybody does something like what you're doing, it's so important because it not only lays a pattern, but what it does, it lets us know that, number one, there's more. You cannot just heal the body. You just can't.
Yeah.
And most people, obviously, medicine, that's what they're doing. And obviously
yeah.
not having a great success because of that.
Well, you know, I'm very familiar with Dr. Gary Schwartz's work. I think it's wonderful and how lovely that you were part of that initial study. All of these things really bear research because, you know, evidence base is really important. I know a lot of people in this kind of energy-based sector that really kind of turn their nose up at it, but I have to agree that evidence base is critically important. So is skepticism. It's important. You know?
Yes, of course.
It's how
yeah,
things
well,
get
no, that's
realized
what, yeah.
and validated. Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Schwartz was very strong about that, and that was why, you know, the studies were done so detailed and
yeah.
Because you're right. And the thing is, when he, Chris, needless to say, like once he sort of quote unquote came out, he got killed. but you know, that
yeah.
happens. That's you know it's anytime you rock people's belief system and in a way that's going to make them think differently about the direction of the profession, then sometimes it just they can't handle it. So
well, you know,
yeah.
You're not wrong about that, but I will say that one of the most gratifying things I've seen over the last, I want to say, 5, 6, 7 years, as I've taught my programs, is an acceptance and an awareness of how intuition works in medicine. And I teach at the Andrew Weil Center to their medical students and residents, and the interest and curiosity and acceptance that the young doctors have is phenomenal. And when I speak to rooms full of seasoned doctors, they also get it because everyone knows, all the doctors understand for the most part, that gut feelings and hunches are a big part of the medical process. Not everyone
Absolutely.
Is going to fit into the cookie cutter of standard Western medicine, so they have to be able to rely on a hunch. Well, what is a hunch? A hunch is your
right,
intuition
exactly.
talking
yes.
to you, you know? And
sure.
in the nursing field, absolutely they're told, but the thing is that medical people are not traditionally taught how to access, how to tap in, how to actually use it as a skill. So that's really where I come in and what I teach. And I'm very pleased to say that I've been teaching physicians and nurses and medical people from every sector, including mental health care. And they've been loving it. They are using it in their practices. They're finding that it helps in so many areas, including cost effectiveness, time saving, patient compliancy goes up, you know, that holistic view that everybody talks about. Well, you can actually get that with medical intuition, and it's just really, really working well.
That's great. That's wonderful. So I know that you do, I assume, without assuming, that you do obviously in-person teaching, but I know you also do some online work as well, because obviously
well, actually,
if I... It's yeah. I'm just saying to you, I have people from all over the country, so to speak. So those that would be really, 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 really interested and interested in your work. Now, and I also want to do as a sort of a sidebar here is I've been a keynote speaker or at this conference called the Afterlife Conference from the beginning pretty much of the building, and we're 9 years into it, and there are a lot of people there who do, you know, a lot of, you know, I mean, that's obviously a difference, so it's not so much medical intuitive, but they do an awful lot of, like, prior to pre-death work, and a lot of those are like you, there are practitioners, and they have found, you know, great success in helping people in their transitions and all, you know, that, sort of the whole, as you would say, the gamut that covers.
Yes.
Well, that's as much as important as you know, as working with the people, as, you know, when they're here from what you're doing as well.
Yes. Well, let me just say that I teach all of my programs live online. So these are not self-study programs, and I'm transitioning away from live in-person programs. But these are live online in the Zoom environment, which is very simple. It's from your own home. You join the Zoom classroom.
Right.
And we have students from all over the country and all over the world. So it really can expand your own personal community of, you know, practitioners. And it's just a wonderful way to learn this because this is a remote skill. You can use it in person with a patient or a client, but you can also use it at a distance. And because we're speaking to the client's body and energy system, not to them personally, you know. So it really works that way as well. Yeah.
Right. It's like people used to say to me, like, well, how do you talk to dead people on the radio? And I go, like, well, it doesn't kind of matter where I talk to them. They're dead. So it doesn't kind of make, you know, it's like they to wrap their heads around, like, how do you do this on the radio? Well, they're dead anyway, so, you know, that, you know, the radio doesn't
kind of work.
They just kind of like but interesting enough, what I do use, which is probably sort of similar to what you're talking about, is in my own knowledge, I said, like, you have to understand, you know, our brains are like radio sets. And it's all the, you know, it's the frequency that we tune into, you know, and that's really true. So,
well, I will agree with that.
It's an analogy. Yes,
it's
absolutely.
A great analogy, Suzanne, and it really works. And when it comes to medical intuition, I have two programs. One is the main program for wellness providers, and that's where I teach people exactly how to do what I do, have that conversation with their client or patient's body and biofield to get the information that's needed. Again, not just from the physical side, even though that's very important. You have to know your anatomy and learn your anatomy. I train in that.
Mm-hmm.
And also from the life experience and life history of the client or patient, and that comes from their energy as well. But also, I've lost my train of thought. Oh, live online. Yes, I also teach that program. That is a 9-month program for wellness practitioners. But I also have a 1-day workshop for anyone and everyone who just wants to create that mind-body connection between their own mind and their own body to get information on anything that's going on for them. This is a terrific thing to learn because when we have an ache or a pain or an issue or a condition, wouldn't it be great just to be able to sit and talk to your body and say, body, what do you want? What do you need? So I train people on how to do that. That's a workshop called Medical Intuition for Healing.
Okay, so I want you to hold that thought. We're going to take another quick break.
Okay.
And let's talk a little bit more about that and let me know when it's coming up so that we can, you know, I know you have some stuff coming up in March, and I don't know if that's what we're talking about here. But in any case, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. Again, my guest is Wendy Coulter, and you know she's a medical intuitive practitioner, certified master energy healing practitioner, teacher, ordained, all kinds of anything that has to do with the practical path of intuitive development and really learning about this, what we call wonderful, wonderful thing of medical intuitive training. This is Suzanne Northrup, and we'll be right back.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back with Suzanne and Wendy. And just real quick here, it's Wendy Coulter, COLTERCMIP, The Practical Path. I'm assuming that's where people can contact you, Wendy?
Yes, thepracticalpath.com.
Okay, great. And obviously there you're going to find out, you know, all her programs, what you have available and what you've got coming up. So we were talking about this one day, you said this one day workshop that you have, or is that something else that we're talking about? Okay. So.
Yes. So there are two programs. Yeah, you got it. There are two programs right now. One is the one day workshop that's open for everyone, and that's called Medical Intuition for Healing. And that's a workshop where you can learn how to have a conversation with your own body and your own biofield and find out what it wants you to know. And that one I have, I teach that one live online. There's one coming up on February 9th and then later in the month, three evenings, so 6 hours total. I do have CEs for nurses on that particular workshop, if anyone's interested. And you can go to the website and find out about that. I will be doing another live online version of that probably in the summertime, but I'm also looking at hopefully creating a self-study version of that program because it's so valuable and useful for people. And that is when I also travel to teach. So if anyone has a location that they think would be interested, you know, a clinic or something like that, I'm happy to teach it there. I've taught it many times at Scripps to their community of healers and doctors and nurses and also to their patients. So that's a good one. The other one is the main program, and again, that's a 9-month program in two levels, and that's called the Medical Intuitive Training, and that starts in March, and I also teach it again in September. I teach that twice a year for people, and we get, again, students from all over the world. It is a live online program and a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't really imagine, honestly, anybody who has any interest at all in intuitive stuff, but certainly, you know, any kind of healing work, emotional and all, the whole combination of that this would not be something that would be really, really imperative. I mean, you know, people I know are into Reiki and you know, transitional meditation and a lot of other, you know, aspects. As like I said, one of the things at the Afterlife Conference is a lot of nurses and different kinds of practitioners right there at the conference. I'll be sure to mention this to them. But some of those that I know that really do, you know, they do NLP, a lot of other stuff of this modality, and I just think that this is really, really fine. Now, I know that, and I'm not quite sure she's doing this anymore, but I know Barbara Brennan used to do some stuff, but I don't think she did anything quite in this arena, if I'm correct. I'm not positive.
Well,
you're
correct.
I don't know if she's
that.
Even
no.
practicing any. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a wonderful school of healing and healing modality.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a modality, and that's a real distinction to be made. There are very few places to learn this that I've seen, certainly in the United States, very few places. But I can tell you with certainty that my program is the only one that studied the results and published the results of the studies, and our 94 to 98% accuracy rates, I think, are unique. And the students the people that participated in the study, the medical intuitive, were all certified graduates, and they'd all finished their 9 months, and that was it. They'd been studying and practicing less than a year, and these are the results that we're seeing. So, you know, it's a very methodical process. It's a step-by-step method that I've put together for this very specific practice of visual in medical intuition. Yeah.
And an important one.
Yeah,
and
you.
An important one. Yeah. Well,
so.
You know, the thing is that, you know, we don't have to get into, you know, the healthcare system and the expense and all of the above. And like I said, you know, earlier, that you know, we are not just a mind, a body, or a spirit. We are all interconnected with all of those. And I can't imagine, you know, when you're talking about, you're right. It's your body. I mean, you should be able to, you know, talk to your body and find out, you know, what is and isn't going on, or what's working, what's not working, or what, up to par to where it should be. And so
yes,
you have the personal ability to work with it. And listening, right.
You know, the most listening is more important. You know, we talk to our bodies all the time. I'm not sure we're talking in the best way possible, but listening to our bodies is something that people don't generally have a good practice in. And so that 1 6-hour workshop really does help you get to the root of that. And that's really what medical intuitives are doing. We're listening to someone's body. We're listening. We're asking questions. We're finding out. We're being intuitive detectives. We're really getting to the root of the matter. And the wonderful shifts that we see with our clients, regardless of whether or not that's the intention, because it's not the intention to heal, but very often awareness is what turns a corner for people. And one of my favorite quotes, Suzanne, is Dr. Dean Ornish, who said, "Awareness is the first step in healing." I love that quote. You could also say knowledge is power, you know? And that means that once you're aware of what your body is asking you for, what it wants, what it needs, well, then you have an opportunity to heal. Then permission opens up. A lot of things open up that may not have been available prior to that. And that's the key right there.
Absolutely. Yes, that's wonderful. So to get a hold of Wendy, and her name is spent W-E-N-D-I-E, Coulter, C-O-L-T-E-R, and it's called the C-M-I-P, or actually the Practical Path. You can certainly check her out, and anybody that's, like I said, anybody, I can't imagine anybody that's certainly going down that road, any nurse, any practitioner of any sort would do very well by taking this program, because you're right. Our body does have the answers. We just have to, as you say, learn how to ask them and kind of go from there, as they say. So in finishing up, so what are your sort of like your final, you know, extended words of wisdom, as they would say, Wendy?
I'll say this, that, you know, everybody, everyone has a capacity to listen and become a best friend of their physical body and certainly their biofield. And that's really the practice. And when people ask me what they can do, I say to them, get yourself a meditation practice, number one. Learn how to be quiet and be still and commune with your physical body and commune with your energy systems. And that right there goes a long way. I would also say, if you want to learn more about this, I have some guided meditations that are free for everyone on the website. And I have ways for you to kind of learn how to use techniques like grounding and energy shielding and tapping into your body's wisdom. These are very important skills in just getting started with the whole idea of medical intuitive visualization skills for yourself. So I would say go there, try that, see how it feels. And give it a try.
As I say, if you don't give it a try, right, you can't see what's going to work for you. So
absolutely,
that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, when you see Mimi again, give her my best, because I love her. She's great.
I sure
great
will.
Lady, and we've been friends for a really long time, and I could see that you would fit very, very well into her special place. So. That's really, really, really nice. Well, good work, Wendy. Really, really, really good
Thank
work.
You.
Really important work. And I will certainly
Thank
be keeping you checked on my list, because a lot of people ask me these questions about, you know, who can I recommend, and now I have somebody. So that's great. That's wonderful.
Oh, wonderful. So. Thank you so much. And also take a look at our certified graduates. They're terrific, and we're very happy to help. Thank you so much, Susan.
You got it. All right. You take care, Wendy, have a great night.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. So we have, let's see, what do we got here? We have 1, 2, 3 callers. Let's just try to see where we are here, if you're still on.
The conscious is only creating what has been put in it. It's not valid.
Hello?
There's no validity.
Hello?
You are.
Hello?
Hi.
You're on the air with Suzanne. Hi. Who am I talking to, please? Hello?
Yeah, hi, I'm Candy. Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Well, I'm working at this place, my full-time job. I don't like it so much. I've been moved a couple times due to place programs closing, and I thought I wasn't going to move again, and then they put me somewhere to fill in for someone. I'm just wondering, like, am I going to stay here? I don't like it here anymore. I don't like this fill-in place. What do you see happening moving forward for me? Do you see any way that I can find my, that I can be okay there again?
Okay, so who am I talking to, first of all?
Candy.
Candy, okay. So, Candy, this is not sort of my particular specialty. My specialty is connecting with people that have kind of sort of crossed over. But I will sort of say, I will just sort of check to tune this in for just for a little bit for you. For some reason, I don't know why, I'm going to say that you may need to stay here for a while, either until another door opens up for you or until you kind of find your niche into some place maybe Murray would want to go. I know we're in the month of January, and I know that, like I said, I get that you're not crazy here, but my feeling is you might either need to be here or have something open up to you until, but not till maybe between March and April. I think this is,
yeah,
this
it,
is kind
it
of...
Could be that, yeah, do you see me going back to the place where I was working originally until they moved me to fill in for this other place?
I think there's a possibility in that.
That's
but
what
I
I'm trying to negotiate.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I think you're just going to have to bide your time where you are and take a few deep breaths and just sort of like, you know, see where you can get yourself from point A to point B.
Yeah, see, I just felt like all hope was lost all of a sudden. It's very strange. Mm-hmm. I felt like there's no more hope, and very strange.
Right, right.
Oh,
well, you can
wow.
never give up hope,
yeah.
my dear. You never can give up hope. You have to always
oh, my God.
Try to be
felt
as
like
positive
a
as you can. Because, yes, because that's never a good place to be. That's never a good place to be. All right, so just, you know,
seriously,
read through it.
Thank
like
you.
I said, I think you're very, very welcome. Like I said, I think you got to, you know, some March or April, and then I think either the other place will open back up for you or another process with it. But I think in the meantime, you just got to, like, get through this period.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you. Yeah, thank
All right.
you.
You're welcome. You take care now.
I mean,
all right.
Yeah, okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so let's go to one more caller here. Hi, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. I got a general question for you, if that's okay. My name's Jennifer.
Okay, Jennifer. Go ahead. Shoot.
Is it possible to be a light worker and do all the work and still work on your own ego issues, like opening your heart to love and that sort of thing? Or do you have to work on one and then the other?
I don't see them as separate, to be honest with you. I really don't. So they're definitely interconnected. So don't think of it as piecemeal. Think of it as probably how they're all lined in. Yeah, that's really, really what I feel quite strongly about.
Okay.
So,
thanks, Suzanne.
Yeah,
I appreciate
don't
it.
Think of it as a separate. You're very, very welcome. So I got one more caller, and I don't know if we'll get to that person because we're on 60 seconds, but hello.
Hi, this is Deanna. I'm calling from Virginia.
Hi, Deanna, from Virginia. So what I would like you to do, Deanna, is because we have literally 40 seconds left, I'm going to put my next month, I'll put you on as my first caller. I'll write your number down here, and so that I don't have to cut you off. How does that sound?
Okay, no problem.
Okay, great. Thanks, Deanna.
Mm-hmm.
So, everybody, so just real quick, happy again to the month of love, and check it out. I'm going to be in Charlotte, Asheville, Vegas, Denver, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Albany very, very soon. So in the meantime, as always, I hope that everything you want may be yours, and have a great, great month of love in February. Okay, babe. We're good. Good. She's really good. Just really good stuff. Really good stuff. Yeah. Really, really good stuff.
She's a medical
intuitive. Yeah. And there's not too many in the room, but she teaches some wonderful, wonderful stuff. And she's been to Mimi's place. It's lectured there. So I know she's good. She's got some really, really good stuff. She teaches you to learn to talk to your body, love doll. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking of my love doll while I was talking to her. Yep.
Anybody can talk to their, learn how to talk to their own body.
Thank you.